This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, two cultured guys and Nick as we get to the final hour of the show because two of us were cultured enough to watch the Golden Globes last night.
Okay, let me...
Why do you got to crap on it? I mean...
I watched the opening monologue and went, well, that's enough.
Oh, I got no choice because Lisa and her mom
breaking down the dress
are award show heads. So I luckily survived the red carpet. That was watched in the nursery with the baby where I didn't have to watch that. And thankfully, the football game dragged on.
Yeah.
So I didn't have to watch that.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to the actual award show's going to start, that's going to be on our living room TV. And I had no out because there was no football to watch.
Yeah,
it
was done.
I look at the NBA schedule and I'm like, as much as I love basketball, there's nothing that's going to make me want to watch that.
So I watched, I tell you what, a lot of my comedian friends didn't think that the effort put forth by Ricky Gervais was very good. Like, there was no substance to the jokes. To me, it was more like a roast. He just got up there with an alcoholic beverage and was like, all right, bitches. Here's what I think.
And that's the way he said it, too.
And he just started in on people. I loved it. It made me laugh several times. I thought one of the best lines of the night was he snuck in an Epstein joke, and it was pretty outstanding.
This show should just be me coming out going, well done, Netflix, you win everything. Good night. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife instead of watching this show. Spoiler alert, season two is on the way, so in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself, just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up. I know he's your friend, but I don't care.
That's so great. That is so great. Not only does he make the Epstein joke, but then he basically points out, I know he's your friend. He basically just called the entire crowd pedophiles. And he had a pedophiles joke in there.
Dropping F-bombs. I mean,
I
ripping everybody. And
I absolutely loved it.
So I bought in a little bit to the promos that basically said, this is my fifth and last time hosting this award show, and I really don't care. But the one thing to your comedian friend's critique that I will agree with is he really didn't care.
No.
And so because of it, during the show where there was normally a lot of mini monologues transitioning from one award to the next, everything like that, he just read them off a cue card.
Yeah.
He didn't really put a lot of effort in. And he basically, on several occasions, said, if you don't like it, F you. And he said that.
Yeah, and he would say the F word. They were glad to bleep him several times.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
He's a dog. He's an absolute dog.
He didn't care, but that's kind of his thing, and you either love it or you don't. And you know, people were like, there was just it wasn't a good monologue. I liked it for what it was, which was a roast. He roasted Hollywood. I mean, he made fun of, he's talking to the Apple CEO about one of their big shows, The Morning Show?
It's a show on Apple.
Jennifer
Aniston.
And he had a great line about how, everybody loves Apple and Amazon and Disney. They're all sweatshops. He's like, if ISIS were to start a streaming company, everyone in here would call their agent. And I loved it because it was just in your face, no holds barred. He didn't care. He called Joe Pesci Baby Yoda. It was the best, man.
He did. And then on top of all that, when he was really getting to the bare bones of things, he did put a reality check on everybody in the room, too, because he's like, you know what? You think you care. Twice in the opening and then in the close. In the opening, he's like, if you win an award tonight, no one cares as much as you do. So go up there, thank your agent and God, and get off the stage.
Thank your God, thank your agent, because you're so out of touch with everything. Don't act like, you know.
And he finished it by basically saying, and by the way, for all of you in this room that think your opinion matters and that you're this big, high and mighty, this and that, you're not, so F you. And he literally said it. They had to drop the audio. And you're like,
so good.
Dang, he did not care. He bashed the Hollywood Foreign Press.
Oh yeah,
who selected him to host the show
for the fifth time?
So much so, the president of the Hollywood Foreign Press had to kind of come in and go, because he had introduced him, and he was like, "Geez, I mean, he was going 100 miles an hour."
And I wouldn't even say it was the best part of the night. Selma Hayek's breasts were the best part of the night.
Those were amazing.
Wow. When they said it was the Golden Globes, I thought they were talking about the awards. But boy, man. Selma Hayek. Yikes.
I didn't see it. Somebody actually tweeted to me. They were like, hey, Selma Hayek still has it. I was like, what'd I miss? Because I turned it off after the monologue, and they sent me a screenshot, and I was like, oh, my goodness.
That was a Garrett Cole Those were Garrett Cole fastballs.
Yeah, she's still bad.
And
she still has it.
And that if that's 1A, Sofia Vergara is 1B.
Now, see, I missed that, too.
My goodness. You talk about just it doesn't matter how it was put together and if she had help or not. Woo!
All right, if you had to choose, like we just like we did with Shakira and J-Lo for the Super Bowl. If you had to choose between Sofia Vergara and Selma Hayek, who's you choosing?
Sofia.
I am, too.
Y'all are both going Sofia Vergara?
I am. Selma's Breastis probably could have won the entire Golden Globes alone.
Oh, they did.
But still, I'm still picking Sofia.
I got to go Selma Hayek.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't hate on you for going, you know, yeah, picking Selma.
It's a no-lose proposition. Yeah, but when you look at just what all the different assets that are on the table.
Yeah.
That full package with Sofia Vergara.
It's top shelf. It's top notch.
Please don't go not bad.
No, it's top shelf.
There's few better.
But I don't know. There's just a soft spot. I've always had a crush on Selma Hayek. Well, a semi-soft spot.
It's a soft spot that Nick wanted you to make a hard spot this weekend?
Listen, why are we going back to this
text? Make that. Now you're making it sound creepy.
Well, I'm just saying.
Like, now you're making it sound like Nick and I hooked up this weekend.
I'm pretty sure that you don't need help, even at your old age.
It's still functions.
You don't even need any hands. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. So I don't think it was a soft spot. But
no.
Those were two of the brightest spots in the Golden Globes.
I'm glad I didn't watch it, but I'm sad I missed those two. But, you know, I got the internet.
I'll tell you the other one that I wasn't aware of, but they honored Tom Hanks for a lifetime achievement. I think it's the Cecil B. DeMille Award. And they honored Ellen. And the interesting thing about the Ellen honoring of Ellen was Kate McKinnon of Saturday Night Live introduced her, and as part of introducing her, came out of the closet.
Really?
I had no idea. And she said, because she was saying how great Ellen was and how meaningful she was to so many people, and she said, when Ellen first got started and was doing what she did, she goes, here I am, a female in the mirror lifting weights, wondering if there was something wrong with me, and you gave me the answers that I needed, essentially. And basically, and she went, and Ellen even got, you could see it on Ellen's face. She did not know it was coming, and it stunned her. And when she got up there, immediately she was like, Kate.
Did they make out?
No, but it was a long embrace. But she basically came out and said, Kate, the fact that you came in, you traveled across the country to be here is one thing. But what you said and the impact that it just had by what you said, she basically, it was like, even Lisa and I were like, I didn't know that.
So they didn't scissor or nothing? No. Well, dang it.
Her girl, Portia?
I heard Ellen thanked her husband and something
like
that.
She made up this whole
weird
random bio that wasn't true about my husband and my kids, and now they're in college.
She's pretty funny.
Yeah, but at the same time, Portia, who when they first got together looked very feminine, Portia's really trying hard to look masculine now.
Looking like a Dodge?
She kind of looked like Kevin Bacon with blonde hair.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Demetrius, by the way, said y'all are smoking crack. Selma all the way.
Really? I don't think it's that.
I wouldn't go to the smoking crack.
I mean, he may love Selma.
Demetrius
we don't know.
Also said the Texans are in the AFC championship.
Yeah, he said they're going to beat the Ravens. Yeah.
And he gave you credit on it. So it was a double whammy.
Why'd he give me credit?
Because he was basing about the Titans being there. He thinks it's going to be.
I mean, you guys did
Texas
laugh at me about the Titans.
I didn't laugh at you. Barry, you told me I was on crack.
This was when
they
were
third. Weren't win the division. I said they weren't going to win the division.
This was when they were in third in the division.
You
I told you.
The conversation by saying Stranger Things. You started.
I might have said
you
were an idiot. I don't even remember.
Yeah, probably.
You could see the Titans winning the division, and I said no way. I couldn't see them because of their failures in the past. I couldn't see them win the division, but I give you credit for and Titan Hugo for hanging in there, saying they're going to make the playoffs because they did. I thought that they were going to falter to the Saints and the Texans. So,
all right, switching gears a little. Oh well, do we have time?
We got time,
sure.
Because this is a pretty important topic in Houston sports. I thank the texter for bringing it up. I had it on my list of things to talk about because I realized it was Texans 1A. Mm-hmm. This is definitely 1B. Can we talk about the cornrows and James Harden?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Totally forgot about that.
What?
When I first saw it, I'm like, why? But I guess he just wanted to go for a new look. He looks a little – I guess I'm just so used to what he's been rocking all these years that it just looks weird now.
He did in the post game interview, didn't shy on national TV, didn't shy away from his new look.
No, he said, you know, I've had the mohawk for a long time, and I just tried something new for 2020.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, well, good for him. I wonder if he's going to shave.
Shaving the beard is going to be. Well, he's making too much money.
But trim it up. Do something different.
Like, how many sponsors does he have just off the beard?
Comb it.
Just be like the Globetrotters, Sweet Lou Dunbar with his fro. Start pulling lawnmowers and stuff out of your beard. Do something that's impressive.
Could you just comb it? I don't know. It just
does that. Usually, I used to after the shower, like every time after games,
he would comb it. Oh, boy.
I bet you had to think that stinks.
Oh, man. That's what he should do. He should put cornrows in his beard. Right?
Long enough.
That's been a thing, right? That's been a thing. You know, like Russ at the start of the year did the rose, but then he had the two little pigtails that came down over his forehead. That started to be a thing for a while. Like at the end of the beard that you put like
I'm talking about full on cornrows down the cheeks, like they have it on the head. I think that would be dope. You gotta
isn't that
normally change.
For Orthodox Jews when
nope,
they do
I'm talking about cornrows.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that would look so weird.
That would be awesome. Something totally different. No one's doing that, James. Do it.
There's a reason why no one's doing that.
Because it's awesome.
Bad look.
Okay. Maybe.
Jeez.
And if you get into a fight, someone can just walk up to his face.
They can do that now. The Rockets are, too, finally getting called out for what they should be getting called out for. Red carpet in the back.
Oh, they are? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, people are on the national broadcast. They're like, seriously, it's gotten a little out of hand when the Rockets have a red carpet just so that Westbrook and Harden can walk in every night.
With their outfits?
Yeah.
I tell you what, they look good against the Sixers.
They did.
They look damn good against the Sixers.
Here's a perplexing question for you.
Okay.
And it's something that we need to talk about. So we talked about the quirk of the schedule, right? Yeah, we talked about the quirk of the schedule, right? So the Rockets played the Sixers. They then have 4 days off. Are you in agreement that one of your superstars is going to take off Wednesday night for rest?
Ooh, let's discuss.
Let's talk about that next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a long time. If you've been looking at your roof and saying, you know what, I need a new roof on my house, or you've got a leaky roof and the rain lately gave you the indication you need to do something about it, look no further than Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com, or better yet, call them. 832-521-3001. They'll give you a free, no-obligation inspection just for calling them. They come to you, show you what they can do, and they go away. If you want them, you call them back. They do great work. They got the ratings to prove it. A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. They're going to do what you need done, and they're going to do it with great customer service before, during, and after the sale. They use the best product in the business, CertainTeed shingles, so much so that they are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the United States meet the criteria to get the status and be called a Select Shingle Master Company by CertainTeed. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Quite simply, their base warranties longer and better than the average roofer, and they're going to take care of you. So do what I did. Anytime you need anything from a roofing perspective, there's only one name to call. It's Fitz Roofing. FITZRoofing.com or 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. We take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. As I always tell you during the final hour of the show, if you missed any portions of today's Usual Suspects, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects at the top of the page, and the menu will pop down, and you will be able to catch up on the hours that you missed. And while you're there on the website, there's all the directions that you can follow to download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss any more of the show. I do want to tell you this, by the way, before
okay.
we go any further.
Tell me.
Taylor had to go to the 24-hour care last week.
Okay.
Because we were worried she got sick.
You blame me.
And you were the arch enemy of the house.
Okay.
Then we were told that she didn't have a temperature and that it might be allergies, but she's not sick. So
I'm no longer the arch enemy of the house?
No. So she woke up this morning with sniffles.
Okay.
and Lisa didn't know if she had a temperature or not. So Lisa, of course, was just like, oh, we better keep her home. I'm like, are you kidding me? No. There's nothing wrong with her. So she goes, well, then you go talk to her. So I go talk to her, and we have a little heart-to-heart, and I say, are you going to miss school today? And she goes, Dad, I really think I should stay home. And I was like, well, what made you think that? She goes, I got sniffles, and that could be bad, and it could lead to a lot of bad. This is a four-year-old, mind you.
Okay.
And I'm going, okay, but wait a minute. New school week. Your friends are there. Lots going on. You don't have a temperature. If you just need to take some Kleenex in your backpack, you're going to be fine. She's like, okay. So then Lisa comes in the bedroom, and she's like, okay, Taylor, so are you good with it? You talk to Daddy, you're going to go to school. And she goes, but if you start feeling sick and the teachers notice that you're sick, then they'll talk to you, and we'll come get you and bring you home. And I go, whoa, time out. What's that? And before I could say another word, she sits up in bed, and she goes, so, Dad, here's the plan. The way it goes is I'm going to go to school. And I'm like looking at Lisa go, did she just say here's the plan? And she's like, so here's the plan. I'm going to go to school. But at a certain point when I'm not feeling good, I'm going to be able to come home. And I go, you are not allowed to mention to anyone from the time we walk in the front door that you're even remotely close to being sick. And then if it comes up, you can come home. And she thinks about it. She goes, all right. I'm like, nice. This kid's four.
That's smart. Funny.
And yeah. She starts with, so, Dad, here's the plan.
Here's the plan, Pops. Well, I'll have you know, just like Charlie tried to blame me. Well, he didn't try, but if you didn't get it within the first 24 to 48 hours of me having the flu, I don't have the flu anymore. So if you didn't get it after the first 24 to 48 hours, I didn't give it to you. She's around a ton of kids. She could have got that right. From any one of them little
Lisa
dirty bastards.
Quick to point that out.
Yeah.
I will say this. When we were doing the whole shift change, and we were coming in, I would say transition, but that's dirty. Okay, so we were doing the shift change. Charlie was getting out. We were coming into the studio. And kiddingly, I said, Charlie, why did you bring your luggage? Because there was a black hefty bag on the counter. And he did get that. He started laughing and things like that. And he goes, no, actually, that was in case I lost my lunch.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. You bring in your lunch in a hefty bag? He goes, no. The way I was feeling, I brought it in case I had to hurl and throw up during the show. And I'm like, so he's allowed to do the show, and he's going to barf into a hefty bag.
But I got to go home. I get yelled at.
Did he sound, because I didn't listen to the show. Did he sound congested?
He looked awful.
He looked like Charlie. He didn't look any different.
No, that's not nice.
I'm saying that.
Did he sound sick?
Yes.
Okay. I disagree on
sounded
both.
Sounded sick. He looked sick.
Disagree
maybe
on
sick.
Both.
No, he did not look great. He did not look like the normal chipper. Spry Charles.
He looked exactly
Palillo.
The same to me.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah. We're friends.
So. But
I looked at him and I didn't see anything wrong with him. And I didn't really think he sounded like he was sick.
Yeah, I could see it.
Like you swallowed a pound of gravel.
Friday or today?
Well, Friday.
Yeah. Friday's, I feel like today's is a lot.
But then once he told me what the hefty bag was for, I was like, God, get out of
here. Yeah, that's gross. Yeah.
We had the Clorox wipes. I'm like, literally, I know Fred gave the entire desk a bath when he came in for you.
I'm just going to lick everything.
I was like,
well, regardless if he looked at or sounded, he obviously kind of admitted that he's feeling something if he brings a trash bag to the studio.
Yeah, what is that? And there's a garbage can in here. All you got to do is change the liner out.
Right? I don't know.
But he brings a full-fledged hefty bag and
who's
slaps it on
up
the
in
desk.
A hefty bag? That's weird.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, that was, but hey, he's a trooper. You know, Charlie gets kudos for coming in. I try to come in, I get chastised.
Well, difference Jeez. Between being a legend.
Again, being a schmuck.
Losers, I was going to say.
Yeah, well, that's...
Okay, so I mentioned this before we went to break. I do you find this a bit perplexing? The crawl on the bottom of ESPN while we're doing the show says Russell Westbrook will rest Wednesday night against the Hawks for rest.
Okay.
Which, in the course of a back-to-back situation, I would say, I get it. That's been the plan, kind of the Kawhi Leonard thing. The whole, you know, make sure you don't receive an injury, load management thing. But the Rockets played Friday night, haven't played since, just had practice today. So four straight days of just kind of chilling out, and you're going to tell me he's going to rest Wednesday night?
Yeah, that seems a little weird. I don't know why.
Now, Thursday they play OKC. Fine. I get that too. But coming off of 4 days rest, you should be okay.
I'm with you. I don't, if this was a back-to-back or maybe one day off in between or something like that, but you're right. They played Friday and they haven't played since. It just seems weird. But it is the Hawks. So if you're going to give them a game off to miss a game, you know, and because look, it's not the days off necessarily. And this might be their argument. It's not that you don't get enough days off. It's the wear and tear playing in a game. So you're going to miss a certain amount of games a year to save the wear and tear on your body. So why not miss a game against the Hawks?
So it's a back-to-back. So I would say, okay,
what I'm saying is there's 82 chances for you to put your body on the line. Saying. So they're saying, you know what, let's limit it to 70 or 75, and we'll pick these games, and the Hawks is one of them because they suck and we can beat them without you.
I get what you're saying. I'm just saying if I'm from the Rockets trying to justify this, I would say, okay, yeah, he had 4 days off, but he's still going to play two games in two nights.
True.
And he's got to sit one of those nights.
Right.
But you're playing the Hawks in the first one. You should be done with them by the middle of the third quarter. They're just not that good. Trae Young, their best player, has been in and out.
Yeah.
So I don't think that should be a major concern. And believe me, he's going to be fired up Thursday night to play his old
OKC,
team. First time back in OKC since the trade?
He ain't missing that game.
And so if it was like a 4 games in 5 nights or they'd been playing a lot of games, I'd get it if you wanted to sit him to make sure he was super ready for that. But with
And there will be 3 games in 4 nights because they got Minnesota on the 11th.
I don't get it but, in this case.
Yeah, it seems a little weird, but I kind of understand because of like what you just said too, the back-to-back. If they don't want him playing in back-to-backs and there's not that many, then okay. But they do have another one, 14th and 15th, there's another back-to-back. And those are televised nationally. Well, NBA TV and ESPN, so we'll see.
Now, I'm gonna retweet this for you people out there.
Okay.
But I think you guys already know that since you gave me a hard time with the whole...
Never done that. I've never given you a hard time.
Cream City moniker for my hometown.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You are about that, yeah. Cream City.
Yeah, okay. So with that being said, there is a new burger...
What's all this?
...that explodes with cheese, like a volcano. It's a monster burger in New York City. The bun is filled with loads of butter to begin with. Then Wisconsin cheddar cheese is all loaded within this mixture that they put in. Then French bread is the roll, and it's prepared with a hole in it so they can load up the entire bun with cheese. And then it kind of plumps up almost like a ball, not a bun, at the top of the bun. And when you go to squeeze it, the first time you put your hands on it, it literally
erupts. Oh no, I'm looking at it.
Goes boom.
Have you ever had a Juicy Lucy?
You've talked about them. I haven't had it, but you've talked about
it. I had a Juicy Lucy, and it did the exact same thing out of the burger. So I will tell you right now, that is a safety hazard. To have hot cheese like that squirting out, not first of all, it looks disgusting,
and it doesn't look like good cheese either.
It doesn't. It looks disgusting and sexual. And I don't want anything of that to have to do with my burger.
So, of course, no Pink thanks. Valkyrie says it should be the official burger of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Of course, because it's Cream City, baby. Right.
But that's
Cream City,
whole,
all up on your
this
face.
This goes back to the conversation we had about white queso. Yeah, okay.
What? Right. You're going to have cheese on your face.
I'm trying to overlook
you're
it.
You're going to have the cheese on your face, Joel. They're going to be like, Joel, you have it all over your face. What? All that white stuff from the buns.
It's so
on your
funny.
Face. Just
the owner says it's kind of a surprise. And then before you know it, it's all over your face and it dribbles out.
Cream City face. That's what it is. I don't know what to tell you, Joel. Welcome to Milwaukee, baby.
Well, there ain't much else to do in Milwaukee in the wintertime. So maybe that makes some people happy. I don't know.
Man, it looks disgusting.
But this really
does.
Goes back, and again, being a cheese connoisseur from the state of Wisconsin,
sure.
This goes to my whole thing, too, about I don't like white queso.
I was just going to say, I think the reason why it looks kind of sexual is because it's white queso. If it was a little more yellow.
Like here in Houston, I know and notate.
Look like they have a disease.
I've always known and notated the restaurants that use white queso.
What's your problem with
I don't
white
like
queso,
it.
Joel?
No,
No.
You're missing out on some good queso
it's
blanco.
It's runnier and it doesn't taste
not,
as good.
Not all queso blancos are bad.
Yeah.
Don't just
you're
judge
calling
the
me queso blanco now?
No, I'm just saying. Have you had, who's a good queso blanco? Let me think of one.
Queso blanco is the white?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought you were making fun of my last name.
I was not.
Joel.
Yeah. Because I'll say this, and I almost brought you the extra berry. I thought Lisa would like to try the Chewy's green sauce.
The ranch. The creamy green
on
sauce.
It. What? And we had like three or four of them. I was like, oh, I should probably bring that to Barry. Yeah, he'd probably think that I spit in it or something.
Well, but I probably wouldn't have trusted you. But no, we made homemade knockoff Chewy's for Christmas. Well, we didn't really have Christmas because that's when Nora had the flu. But when I got back from Fort Worth, we had our Christmas and all that.
I always thought for as overrated as the fajitas were,
at Chewy's?
Because, no. I'm saying at Papacito's, because they were always, everybody came to the number one spot everybody thought to go to when you visit Houston is Papacito's.
Wait, I thought speaking of fajitas, someone owes me a $100 gift card, dog.
Okay, fantasy football, go down the hall during the break.
Yeah, why are you bringing it up to us?
I don't know.
But
I'm just venting here.
No one at this desk cares.
Oh, that's right, because you guys didn't win your fantasy football.
No, we let the listeners win like you're supposed to do. Yeah. We're not a bunch of jerks because you two clearly
weren't trying to win in your fantasy
football. You're being nice to your listeners. You boat race the competition just to screw the listeners. We let the listeners win.
Did you see my team at the end? Of course I wasn't trying to win.
Just, look, I'm a champion.
Anyway,
I want my gift card.
Papacito's to me, from a queso perspective, does it about as good as anybody.
Really?
Yeah. As much as I thought their fajitas were overpriced, I thought that their queso was top notch.
You like it?
The yellow cheese that has the tomato and the onions in it and a little jalapeno, it's good.
Okay.
But I don't like the white queso.
I'll bring some good queso blanco to the state when you guys are not on your diet.
Because
I don't know if Barry's on some Atkins diet or some, I don't know.
I'm always on a diet.
He did go with the fast food bag today, but he did pull out chicken soup.
Chicken noodle soup, baby.
Yeah.
So, oh, from the old Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Try.
So there you have it. All right, we got a half hour to go on the show. Don't go anywhere. Final 30 minutes. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Roll through the final half hour. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city, coming off a Texans win. Rockets idle after a Friday night win against the Sixers. Congratulations, by the way, to our own John Granato, who is going to be the play-by-play voice of the Roughnecks. So he's going to call some football.
Yeah.
So, congratulations to you.
For sure.
Interested to see who the rest of the broadcast team fills out to be. But it's a nice little honor to be able to be the inaugural play-by-play voice of a franchise.
You think he's going to yell, climb on the broadcast?
That's his rock and roll, right?
Is he allowed
it depends on who the sponsors are.
Well,
I don't know.
Vandermeer, when the Texans, he's rock and roll touchdown Texans. Yeah. Maybe Granato can be like, climb on, brother. Touchdown, Roughnecks. Climb on, brother. Right?
It sounds better when you're sick, I think. I think if you had your regular voice, it wouldn't work.
Sound as good? You don't think so?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I think you should do that.
Yeah. What if it's Miller Lite?
Well, it doesn't matter. Climb on, brother, is just a... That's a Johnny G thing.
That's true.
That's not a Coors thing. He can just every time they score, yeah.
You won't talk about refreshing. No,
I would like it. Wouldn't it be great if there was a play-by-play guy that just kept it real when they scored? Be like, yep, Roughneck score, suck it, bitches. That'd be so great.
If you're gonna do it, XFL would probably that would be the one time to do it.
You would be the talk of the town.
Yep. That would make SportsCenter.
Yes, it would. You think they would beep it though? They'd probably beep it.
Probably.
Oh yeah.
I would love.
By the way, quick reminder: ESPN's owned by Disney.
Yeah, that's true.
They're bleeping it.
But wouldn't that be great though if it was like, oh, he got tackled. He sucks. What a dummy. What a dumbass. Wouldn't that be great if it was just Granato being Granato and not trying to be too polished? That would be the best.
I wouldn't mind it at all. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see because they obviously have to go through it with a completely different strategy as the old league. And as the NFL, if they want to be successful at all. I don't know how they're going to be successful. I'm pretty sure there's some smart people running that organization right now. And they just have to do something different. And maybe that something like that would work. Yeah. I don't think whatever the NFL is doing, they obviously can do. They're going to do something different to stand out. So I'm open to anything. I'm going to be open-minded. It just depends on how strict
you're
going to
be. I just want more cursing in the booth. Just curse more. I think that makes it all worthwhile.
Request like a stream-only broadcast or
something. Yeah, I was going to say FCC acceptable cursing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If the Roughnecks score.
You're not going to Ricky Gervais it.
No,
but
if the Roughnecks score, what's wrong with yelling, suck it, bitches?
I'm not against it.
I'm not either.
Because saying it's gimmicky football, but I'm saying that it's not the NFL, so they're always looking for the niche.
Yeah.
And if one of the niches is that they let their voices...
Say bitches.
Yeah. If niches can say bitches, I'm in.
What's wrong with it?
I don't think there's a problem with that. And then you can get creative with that. Can you imagine Kevin Harlan mixing in some bitches and ass? Kiss my ass. Suck it, bitches. Roughnecks.
Yeah. What? This is great. This would be awesome. Can you imagine Jim Nance doing that?
Hello, friends.
And
if you're
bitches.
A Roughneck fan and you're in Houston... Good for you. If you're not, suck it, bitches.
This would be awesome. We gotta get on this. We gotta get Granato to curse.
I wonder when the last time Johnny G did play by play.
I don't know. Did he? That's a good question.
Because you got to really
the Rockets or something, or no? He was doing pre and post or something, or sideline reporting or something.
Well,
like that.
Yeah, he did sideline for the Texans. Yeah. He used to do the old KNWS 51 pre and post for
Astros. I remember that back in the day.
Yeah, I sure do too. But you're like, I know Charlie used to do Dynamo Soccer.
Really?
Which was a weird kind of a fit for me, but Charlie used to do the play-by-play for Dynamo.
Interesting. I didn't know that either.
I think he might have been the inaugural radio voice of Dynamo Soccer.
Charlie Palillo.
Yeah. Really?
I'll be damned. I would have thought it would have been Glenn Davis.
For sure. Glenn was TV.
Oh, okay.
Still is TV.
Yeah.
So,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
Well, that's cool. Congrats to Granato.
No doubt. It's a nice little honor there.
Yeah.
So I was listening to those guys this morning, too, and the bench is always who I'm listening to when I'm driving around town. They had a lot of interesting things. Lance made a good point, because Fred and I were talking about this after you left Friday, about the Texans and having money and free agency. And Lance had a good way of summing it up. At some point, all the stuff you're putting on the credit cards come and due. And so do you want to pay it all off now, or do you want to pay it later? Because you know Watson and Tunsil are coming down the pike. You've already spent big dollars for Whitney and for Martin, and you know your salary, your payroll, and from basically what he was hearing too, Tunsil's agent ain't giving the Texans a
deal.
He's like, you just gave me an open opportunity
to
write a
take
blank
you to the cleaners,
check.
Yeah, because you got no choice now.
Yeah.
If you let him walk, but it's a terrible. It's beyond
the
terrible.
Egg on your face isn't how many draft picks you gave up. At that point, the egg is just on your face for the fact that you let him walk and weren't cagey enough to make that part of the deal.
Yep.
So it's going to be interesting to see this offseason. That's why, you know, you go back to it and say, look, congratulations on the Texans on winning. And you guys were talking about this. And if they were to somehow follow the pattern that you've been saying, lose one, win two. Successful season if you beat the Chiefs? Or
for me, yes. For me, if he gets the second playoff win.
Chiefs for me, absolutely. If they lose?
No, that's same old Texans. And I know they're going up against a completely different Kansas City Chiefs team. But still, that's been your MO, Bill O'Brien. Sorry.
Okay, but when we started this season, mm-hmm. all three of us thought that they would have a losing record.
6-10. Yeah,
sure.
So the fact that they not only didn't have a losing record, what was it? What were they, 11-5? Is that what they finished? No, 10-6. Excuse me. We thought they were going to be 6-10. They finished 10-6. They win the division. They win a wild card game against Buffalo after being down 16-0. We felt like they shouldn't have even been here to begin with. How could it not be successful, in my mind, if I thought this was going to be a 6-10 team to begin with?
Well, dare I say you can fire a coach after a successful season, as crazy as that sounds, because he's had the exact same success every single time in the playoffs. He's never went past when he had a one playoff win.
He's 1-1 in the postseason. Right?
Last time we said it was a successful season, but there were still talks about him. There were still talks about him potentially being fired, and there were still people making cases for him, you know, justifying whether or not he should be fired. So, I mean, Kansas City Chiefs a win over them buys him so much time. But if he does lose to a very good Kansas City Chiefs team, He's done that. He's never been past the first round. He's never been past a wild card game.
Here's the thing too, because Fred and I were debating this. My thing is, look, I'm not going to fault him from his general manager moves in terms of identifying the right players at the right positions and obtaining them, like Stills and Tunsil, right? Even Martin as part of the Clowney deal.
Yep.
What I am going to fault him on is not having the GM skills in terms of financials and cap management to make sure that you were ready for the future and beyond this season. So that's why it's so imperative when you talk about whether this season is successful or not. It's also it also comes down, Barry, to your point of are you in full NFL mode, like a winning football team mode in terms of what a successful season is? Or are you in, based on what we saw and what we thought, the fact that they even had a winning record, let alone won the division and won a playoff game, it's a success. Because what we know is in Houston, 9-7 in a division win and an appearance in the first round or whatever it is, that's not acceptable anymore.
No, it's got to be better. But I tell you what, and this is such a this is the debate with Bill O'Brien. Listen, if I read you his year by year, he had the, obviously the one terrible year when they went 4-12. But this guy in what, this is his sixth season. He's won the AFC South four times in six seasons. All you can do at, when you talk to any coach, it all starts with let's go out and win the division. Now, I realize that he's lost in the divisional round and he's never gotten past it. And he's, you know, he has three losses and two wins in the playoffs. And I get all that. But he's had one losing season at 4-12, and he's the worst he's done is 9-7 if you exclude the one bad year. 9-7, 9-7, 9-7, 4-12, 11-5, 10-6. He took a team that was 4-12 and went 11-5.
But then you're accepting a little bit better than mediocrity.
It depends on your standard at this point from the front
but
office.
But you know what? What does that say about the other three teams in this division that had Andrew Luck and all these? I mean, he's won the division four times in the 6 years that he's coached this team.
That's what it says.
But and there's also been more coaching changes there in Indianapolis, right? Because it was Pagano, and they got rid of him. And he didn't necessarily have a terrible outing as a coach. A lot of people were, you know, a lot of people wanted to retain Chuck Pagano. Not everybody hated Chuck Pagano. So I mean, it's I guess you can be okay with the, you can warrant it. You can call it a successful season, sure, but if this is going to be the same results year in and year out, I don't know if you stay with the same coach. That's just my personal opinion.
Well, contract means something, too. With all the financials we're talking about with players, the fact that he's got multiple years left on his deal means Cal McNair's probably not going to want to walk away from it.
Do you know how many winning seasons there were before Bill O'Brien got here?
Probably not many. Oh, it was probably
Well, I mean, we can exclude the Dom Capers years if you want, the first four, when they were 4-12, 5-11, 7-9, and 2-14. But do you know how many winning seasons Gary Kubiak had?
What, you go, all of a sudden you're Bill O'Brien's PR guy?
I know, it sounds weird, but I'm just reading facts.
All right, I mean, go look at other coaches. Look up Jeff Fisher. How many winning seasons
Gary Kubiak had 8 years as the Texans head coach. He had two winning seasons in 8 years. 8 years, two winning seasons. Bill O'Brien has had six. He's had one losing season.
But again, Texans fans have higher expectations.
Well,
once you start winning.
Everybody should. I'm not saying he's great. I'm just saying that there's, you know, and obviously he has his deficiencies on the field. I get it. But at some point, you do have to give the man some credit.
Sure.
We thought this was a 6-10 team. You and I both agreed. We looked at the schedule.
You loved his game management, his ability to throw the red flag, his time management.
I mean, there's some issues.
Okay. Well, Jeff Fisher was garbage. But I will say this. There has to be winning coaches. There has to be teams who fired coaches that had winning records year in and year out.
Because
there's a standard. There's a standard that they had, and he didn't reach that standard, so they got rid of him.
FYI, Nick, do you know who the third coach to talk to the Cowboys this week was? Jeff Fisher on the phone.
Yeah. Really?
That's ridiculous. And Barry, do you know before the Redskins said that they were going to wait to hire a general manager till after the draft and they hired Ron Rivera, who they were close to hiring? Rick Smith.
Oh, no. Boy, they dodged a bullet.
Yeah. And if really you think Dan Snyder knows what he's doing, did you see how he introduced Ron Rivera?
Happy Thanksgiving?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It was January 2nd. Are you kidding me?
That's crazy.
Crazy enough.
By the way, to answer your question, a good example, I mean, he didn't have a winning record his last 2 years, but Mike McCarthy had done a lot in Green Bay. And then he goes 7-9 and 4-7, and all of a sudden he's out. Just like that.
Because there's higher expectations.
Yeah. So that's to your point.
Absolutely. Also, high expectations when you have an energy bill, but also high bills that are bothering you. Well, let me tell you where you should go. I switched to Infuse Energy a little over 3 years ago. I just re-upped with them, and I've had several listeners also sign up with them, and they're all happy. You can be too. Because the people at Infuse Energy are focused on taking care of you, the customer. Josh Pestikoff and his staff, locally owned and operated, do a great job, and their customer service is second to none. 5 out of 5 star rating on the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. Texas, and they take care of you from start to finish. Right off the bat, if you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, and you mention ESPN 97.5, $25 off your first bill. It's just the way they do business. And from there, they're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your family or your business? And then when they break it all down, they're going to get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. 9 times out of 10, that's going to be a better deal you can find anywhere else. But because they want to be like a trusted friend, in the rare occasions that there's another business out there, they can beat their prices, they're going to let you know that too. Because you may not go with them this time, but you'll go back to them because you remember that they are a company you can trust. And in business, that is so important. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Also, 100% green energy at your fingertips, but they are going to take care of you and treat you like a trusted friend. Check them out. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of The Usual. Final segment of The Usual Suspects. No, Joel had to run and go get a sick Taylor, bless her heart. So
that you got sick.
Nope, that is fake news.
According
sir.
To Joel
you
Blank,
you are fake news. I'm sorry.
You got the entire Blank family sick.
Yeah, everyone's trying to blame me. That's not the case. So if you want to text the show, 713-780-3776. No phone calls. Last segment.
Well, when you sound like Ed Orgeron, you're kind of an easy target.
Hey, Joe Burrow, go Tigers. I feel like I'm in this weird my voice can't go up an octave, but I can go down an octave and I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's just this weird thing. I have this kind of, I feel sexy though with the voice like this. Well, am I turning you on right now?
No, absolutely not. You never will.
That don't feel sexy to you?
Did he give you a timetable about when this could at least from a voice standpoint?
So, no. But he did say, you know, the medicines that I'm on, 14-day regimen of steroids and antibiotics and all that other stuff. So,
okay. Because that's the one thing we didn't talk about in the first segment. I didn't know if it was going to be
an ongoing thing.
I mean, you've been sick since Thanksgiving, basically.
Yeah. I'm hoping that my voice has recovered, because if I can just stop coughing, that's the problem, is all the coughing.
Right.
Has just destroyed.
Well, that's what was the problem on the last show, was the consistent. It wasn't necessarily your voice. It was.
I couldn't stop coughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a problem.
So this time around, we're much better off, and hopefully this thing is gone within 2 weeks. Because I'm doing a TV taping at the end of the month for a comedy thing that might be on Hulu or something. I need to be well for that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't need this lingering. So we got to get rid of it. But yeah, if you want to text the show, 713-780-3776, at Barry's Funny, at the producer Nick on Twitter. A couple of texts that we did get. Somebody said, and this was just because of our last discussion in the last segment, but somebody said, I'm just glad y'all are admitting how you trashed the Texans in preseason. We never shied away from that.
Yeah, we never not admitted that. I had no problem with saying that. I didn't. There's nothing from that last season that indicated to me, outside them, I think, coming back from that 0-3 start last season, that said Bill O'Brien is going to be significantly better this season.
So, and when you looked at their schedule and you looked at the teams that they had to play, when you thought the Chargers were probably going to be better, Jacksonville, you know, they didn't worry you too much, but the Saints or the Panthers you thought were going to be better than they were. You thought the Falcons, who knew the Falcons were going to be as bad as they were this year? Yeah, the Chiefs. I mean, you had a lot of tough games up front. Oakland looked to be, you know, hopefully better. It was very possible that they only won 6 games. And the fact that they flipped that on its head and had some big wins against the Chiefs and the Patriots, good for them. I'm not knocking it. I mean, look, we were wrong. I was wrong.
I mean, I feel like we give Bill O'Brien credit where credit's due. If we're wrong, I mean, we're gonna have a take. And if I felt like there was going to be a losing season, I'll stand behind it, but the reality is there was nothing that told me otherwise. And I think one thing that was pointed out in the post-game presser yesterday, Barry, was they were talking about whether or not there are particular plays where they specifically target a wide receiver. And he goes, it's rare. Bill O'Brien says it's rare. Usually we're just looking for the open man. There'll be a rare occasion where we'll say on this particular play, please make sure you throw the ball to Will Fuller. But in most cases, it's not. It's whatever Deshaun sees. And that's why I tend to give more credit to Deshaun Watson more than anything else. That's not to say that Bill O'Brien doesn't deserve any credit, because there has been some decision-making that I feel like has improved this season as opposed to last season. But I tend to give the quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Everybody says you have a winning chance as long as Deshaun Watson is that quarterback. And I think that proved to be the case against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and it's a good point about the decision-making. You know, I think most times when a play is called, that's the case. It's rare that you're going to say, all right. I mean, you have your hot read. You know, you have your target. You have your check down. You have all those things, and it's up to your quarterback to go through his progressions. But it shows you that if the right play is called, Deshaun Watson has the ability to make the right decision. Now, does he hold on to the ball too long? Yeah,
sure.
There's all those things that go into it, but you have to feel pretty confident with him back there. And what amazes me is, you know, there's a little bit of luck involved in this too. Let's be real.
Sure.
Deshaun Watson is good. He's really good. But also, he's probably about 4 or 5 interceptions short of what he should have for the season based on, you know, balls that he's thrown throughout the year that should have been intercepted. And so he's made some bad reads and some bad decisions, but you need a little luck to go along with the dynamic play and skill that he has. So it's the perfect mix, man. And this team will go far with him in spite of Bill O'Brien, I think. But there are times this year when Bill O'Brien called a good football game. I just wish he could bottle that. I wish he could be more consistent with his play calling. It was almost like they played scared in the first half and they played too conservative. And then they realized, well, we maybe need to open this up a little bit. I mean, just let it go. 100%. What do you have to lose?
And I guess he kind of did that in that 4th-and-1 play where he went for it. You know, you may not agree with it, but at least he was very firm in that decision. He was like, look, yep, I decided to go for it on 4th-and-1. I felt like if we converted on that 4th-and-1, the game would have been over, and that's why I made that decision. I knew it was a long field goal. I didn't know exactly how long it was, but I knew it was long, and so that's why I went for it. At least there was a firmness to the way he spoke.
And I respect that. And you know what? He has done that more often than I'm used to seeing him go for it on 4th down. So that was it's not like that was out of the norm for him this year.
100%. I couldn't agree more. So, I mean, look, I think we owned it. We didn't say they were going to have a winning season. But look, now they're in a much better situation. And they're on the road. They're going to be on the road facing the Kansas City Chiefs with a huge opportunity.
That's right. Hey, all right. That'll do it for us. Up next is the Blitz. Do not go anywhere. This is ESPN 97.5. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.